Sisters and brothers, I must confess to you all that I just came back with a group of members of the cathedral who made a trip to McAllen and Brownsville just to facts collect and to learn about what is really happening in the southern border, so we don't need to read it, but to experience it. So I am still under the kind of sets of emotion that you will bring back when you go to places like that and you see what you saw and you hear what I heard. St. Paul the Apostle said in his letter to the Galatians today, because the whole law is summarized in this mandate, love your neighbor as yourself. Are we already there? Or are we still on the road trying to figure out how to get there? 2,000 years ago, Jesus tried to answer the question about who is our neighbor. The question was asked by a scribe, a teacher of the law, a lawyer, an expert in law who perhaps, without realizing it, put his fingers in a fundamental ethical problem of all times. The story is reported by the evangelist Luke in chapter 10 of the good news that he writes about Jesus. Jesus responded by telling a story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we all know that story. I don't need to go over it because the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan, is one of the most known stories in the New Testament. One of the things we can conclude from the story is that Jesus is particularly interested in taking his listeners to analyze what should be done when the neighbor is a total stranger and it is at a disadvantage. When the neighbor is someone who does not look like us, dresses like us, talks like us, or simply does not seem to be from where we are, that is to say, our neighborhood or our backyard. The story told by Jesus in the parable of the Good Samaritan has as his objective to make his audience think about the sense of responsibility we have with our neighbors in matters of social justice and mercy and compassion. And surely it answers the oldest question the Bible has about our duty to care for our brothers and sisters. The question is, am I my brother's keeper? The question comes from the lips of Cain when God questioned him about the fate of his brother Abel. What is your brother? God asked. I do not know, says Cain. Am I the guardian of my brother? Aren't we? Jesus knew when to dig deep and press in places where his followers needed more understanding and growth. Jesus understands that it is less challenging, even less costly for us to identify the neighbors among those we know than among those we don't know. The conversation of Jesus with the teacher of the law who asks him, who is my neighbor, offers Jesus the opportunity to remind his listeners of the basic principles of good neighborliness as they appear in the text of Moses and we find in the book of Exodus Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, respectively. These books establish clear rules on how to treat non-Jewish, that is, foreigners. Is that the concept of chosen people, it could easily become an obstacle for the Israelites to open up to be hospitable to those who were not like them. So some legislation had to be created to protect foreigners. For example, in chapter 12 of the book of Exodus, Moses prescribed conversion rites for foreigners who wanted to eat the Passover meal with the Israelites. And in the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, Moses orders to live in the fields, part of the crops, so that the poor and the foreigners can pick them up and feed from them. And even more, Moses commands the Israelites to share a tithe with the foreigners once every 3 years. Essentially, the Mosaic law demands justice and compassion in dealing with foreigners simply because God loves strangers. Jesus knew the particularities of these laws. That became clear in this response to the scribe who asked him the question about who is his neighbor. I believe that many Americans are still struggling with that question. Are we? Especially when the political arena is turned on and a great deal of attention is focused around the issue of immigration that now returns to the center of political campaign strategies in this nation. Particularly, we Christians are confronted in our basic beliefs and challenged to answer again and again and over the question, who is our neighbor? A few weeks before the most recent developments in the southern border of the country and the terrible picture, a terrible picture of a Salvadorian father and his little daughter found drowned in the waters of the Rio Grande started circulating around the world. They were just trying to make it. The father was just trying to make it. So three members of this cathedral and myself, in consultation with Dean Barclay, planned a trip to the cities of McAllen and Brownsville to visit the respite centers for immigrants operating in those cities. A little over 700 people pass through McAllen Humanitarian Respite Center every day. 700 people. Family unit. Immigration authorities board them on their buses and take them to the nearest bus station to the respite center after processing them. The function of the staff and volunteers of the respite center is to provide families who have just arrived with the essentials, some food, sanitary services, some clothes, personal hygiene items, diapers for infants, and stroller, access to a telephone to call their relatives and help them to make arrangements to take the plane or bus that will take them to their destination cities here in the United States. They have just been granted a transitory permit to stay in this country for a while in order to present to an immigration authority with some frequency. All this in the midst of what may seem like a Dantesque scene with noise in every center of the corner, in the corner of the center, children running, people coughing because of the effects of the cool box, the Latinos coming through the border called this the hielera, parents hugging each other and their children over and over because it is barely just a few hours since they were reunited after they have been separated for 8 or 10 days. and in the midst of all this dynamic. The center staff and volunteers tried to meet the needs of everyone with a smile on their lips, as if each of these families were their own family. I don't know if you know this, but after almost 20 years living in this country, I just became a citizen of this country. Matter of fact, just a month and a half ago, when I opened my brand new passport book, I was indicated that I needed to go to page 27, where there was a notation there for me. Notation is a quote from Anna Julia Cooper that says, "The cause of freedom is not the cause of a race or a sect, a party or a class. It is the cause of humankind, the very birthright of humanity. Because the whole law is summarized in this mandate. Love your neighbor as yourself." Are we already there? Or are we still on the road, figuring out the way to get there? Amen.